Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Did I startle anyone yet? Oh, man. This is probably my favorite part every morning as you're all talking, just waiting to say, good morning. Hey, could we stand up this morning? This morning is an awesome occasion. We're getting a chance to worship our King of Kings, and that means every morning is an awesome occasion in that case. But I just wanted to remind you of that. That every morning it's a wonderful feeling. We get to wake up, and guys, we get to be awake to serve and worship and live for our King of Kings. Amen? Man, that's an exciting thing if we really focus in on that. We really think about that, right? Because we're eternal beings, right? And one day we'll get to look upon His face, right? Amen. Thank goodness to Him, He set us free this morning. Amen? Let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, for who You are, Lord. We thank You for what You've done for us, God. We just pray this morning, God, as we worship You, God, that You would be lifted up and You would just draw all men unto You, Lord. God, that Your will would be done this morning, God, as we just give an unrestrained love and unrestrained worship to You, King of Kings. You with me this morning, church? Say amen.
Through You, the blind will see. Through You, the mute will see. Through You, the dead will see. Through You, all hearts will praise. Through You, the darkness fades. Through You, my heart speaks, I am free.
Let's try that again. Through You, the blind will see.
Through You, the blind will see. Through You, the mute will see. Through You, the dead will rise. Through You,
proclaim this morning. Sing that first part, and if I can we get all the ladies to echo that part, and I want all the men to start it off by shouting it out and proclaiming it, and women, I want you to follow us up by just repeating that echo, just like Karen's going to be doing. Can we do that this morning, church? Let's try this.
Through You, the dead will rise. Through
Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, that we could live this free life. We have something to live for. We have a hope. We have a future. And he's got it all planned out for us. Thank you, God.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
Let's sing that again. I am free. Just welcome one another with a big hug and amen.
Sweat on that one, dude. I'm gonna need windshield wipers on my bald forehead. Good morning. Amen. Something to be excited about. In the background, so.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Karen Kelly, and I just want to point out some things regarding in your bulletins. And I'm going to just remind you about the connection card again. If you need to fill out a connection card, if you're a first-time guest, we would love it if you would fill out information. And then also if, like, we have your information, but let's say you've had a change of address, telephone, email, please let us know, and we'll keep that updated so we can keep in touch with you and share or pass on prayer requests or any information regarding Pathway Happenings. And also in your bulletins is this awesome page and Pathway Happenings regarding women's ministry. It's really awesome. So, but just to let all the women know, if you didn't get your, for the Women of Faith Conference that's coming up this Friday and Saturday, if you didn't get your tickets and stuff, please see me after service, and then I'll make sure that I get it to you. The person who will contact is Debbie Guthrow, and I have that telephone number in there because she will be the contact person. I will be leaving tomorrow, Monday, with my husband, and so we will be going to visit our daughter. And so we will be gone for a while, but the contact information while we're gone. Also, Jackie Johnson, if there's any needs, prayer requests, go ahead and call her. That information is also there. So, and she'll be doing the women's night, coffee night. That's on October 12th. And then there's other about the youth and the men's. They meet the second Saturday and the Bible Club. So there's other information in there, too.
Amen. Thank you, Karen. If we could all stand to our feet again.
Upon that cross, no, I'll never know.
To enter into us and do what he wants to our lives and in our lives and through our lives. Just let the Holy Spirit have control of you this morning as you worship him this morning with a true heart, pure heart. Can we open up this morning, church? Can we recognize the beauty of our King?
to continue now with this attitude of worship, with our ministry of prayer time, if our prayer teams would come forward. I want to make them available to you. Come forward if you need prayer for anything at all, anything that is distracting you from hearing from God today, your cares, your worries, your anxieties, anything at all that you need to get off your chest, to get out of your head, so that God can fill you with His Spirit today. Let's continue worshiping together.
I love you. It's Jesus, I love you.
Given us hearts that are capable of worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship teams, be seated. Prayer teams, be seated. We have a very special guest with us today. First of all, to get things started, Frank and Christy Green had a baby just a week ago yesterday. Yeah, so 8 days old is Dion Green. I'd like Frank and Christy to come up here with Dion and any of the rest of the family who is here from the Green and wants to come up and pray with us. And Jackie is the pastor's wife. I'd like her to come up. Let's just say a word of prayer over Dion. Lord, I just thank you so much for for this little boy, Lord. I just pray that you would bless Dion, bless this family, and keep him healthy. Lord, let him grow up as a man that loves you, Father, and that leads many, many people to know you as their Lord and Savior. Use him to expand your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Welcome, Dion. It's church growth the slow way, but that's all good. We're going to worship the Lord right now with his tithes and our offerings before we get into the message for today. If our ushers would come forward, let's say a word of prayer over the tithes and offerings today. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in this church and in the people of this church. Lord, I pray that you would continue that work. I pray that you bless these tithes and offerings and use them to expand your kingdom in Catalina and in Tucson. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, ushers. Also, I wanted to tell you about our church charter application, which is over here on this table. This is your last opportunity today to sign the church charter application to become a member of Pathway of Hope. And we've been talking about this for the last 2 or 3 weeks since our anniversary. We're going to send this off to the Foursquare denomination, and we're going to be a chartered Foursquare church. Up until now, we have been a covenant church. This is the next step in our church's growth and development. So I encourage you guys to sign this application, become members at Pathway of Hope. If you don't sign this today or contact me about signing it in the next few days, then there will be a membership class that you can take in the future to become a member, to join the membership at Pathway. But I encourage you to do it today. It's a little bit of a shortcut. So, oh dear, there goes my Bible. That's God's word. My sword fell. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So we are continuing our series on lessons from the life of David, right? We've been doing this for the last 7 or 8 weeks, and we've been walking our way through David's life and looking at different stories of David and how we can apply them to our lives as Christians. And we've been memorizing this verse as a congregation, right? 1 Samuel 16, 7b. Do you guys know this? You guys been working on this? Man looks at, but the Lord looks at the heart. Yes, very good. Yes, there it is behind me. So be memorizing this verse. It's very applicable to today's topic, worship, unrestrained worship. And after seeing what I just saw during the worship time this morning, I just pack up and go home, because you guys are awesome worshipers. You guys know how to worship. And I'll tell you what, our Heavenly Father loves that. But I want to talk to you today about unrestrained worship, not caring about what the people around you are saying or doing, just you and God worship. You worshiping God one-on-one, no matter who else is around you. And this verse is very applicable, because man looks at the outward appearance, right? Man may look at you and think you're being foolish by the things that you're doing when you're worshiping God, but God knows your heart. God knows your heart, and he wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. So let's talk about that a little bit. We're going to be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 6, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. And we're skipping about 8 or 9 chapters here. So I want to kind of do a recap of those 8 or 9 chapters so you know where we're at in the story of David. When we left David last week, it was the story of Nabal and how David got really mad at Nabal for disrespecting him, not giving him what he had earned by protecting his shepherds when they were out in the fields. And so he was on his way. He was very angry. We talked about anger last week, and Nabal was on his way. David was on his way in anger to take out Nabal and every male in his household. He was going to kill them all for disrespecting him. But Nabal's wife, Abigail, came came to David humbly, asked for forgiveness, asked for mercy, and gave David some gifts, and David's anger was abated. Abigail prevented David from sinning in his anger. We talked about how it's possible to be angry and not sin. Your response to your anger is what could be sin. And so Nabal, he was saved from David, but when Abigail came home and told Nabal what she had done, Nabal, I think, got so scared of what David was going to do to him that he had a stroke, and 10 days after that, he died. So God got the revenge for David. David didn't have to do anything. David would have tarnished his legacy if he had given in to those anger urges and gone after Nabal himself. So we talked about that. And so Nabal died, and David went on to marry Abigail. And that's where we got the name for our daughter, Abigail, coincidentally. So that was 1 Samuel 25. In 1 Samuel 26, Saul continues to hunt David. King Saul is afraid of David. He's been hunting him for years. David's been hiding out in the desert. King Saul is hunting David again. David has another opportunity to try to take Saul out, and he does not. Once again, he practices grace and forgiveness and doesn't take Saul out when he has the chance. In 1 Samuel 27, we see David running to the Philistines to hide. He's not going to try to hide in the desert anymore. He runs to Saul's enemies to hide there among the Philistines. In 1 Samuel 28, we see Saul beginning to lose his grip on the kingdom. King Saul is starting to not be as effective as king. The Philistines are attacking more and more frequently, and they're winning the battles, and King Saul is starting to lose his grip on the kingdom. And then in 1 Samuel 31, we see Saul and his son Jonathan, who is David's best friend, we see them die in battle, which clears the way for David to ascend the throne. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, we see David mourning Saul and Jonathan. And in 2 Samuel 2, David is finally anointed officially as the next king of Israel in Hebron. And Ishbosheth, Saul's son, the son of Saul, Ishbosheth, also tries to become king. So there then is this civil war in Israel between Ishbosheth and Saul's forces and David and the people following him. The civil war breaks out. And over time, David becomes stronger and stronger, and Ishbosheth gets weaker and weaker, and David is winning that battle. David's base of operations was in Hebron in northern Israel, and Ishbosheth's base of operations was Jerusalem, the capital city. And so the struggle lasted a long time, and like I said, David got stronger, Ishbosheth got weaker, and finally, Ishbosheth in 2 Samuel 4 is murdered, and David is finally clear to ascend the throne as the uncontested champion of the world, right? He's the king of Israel, finally, the uncontested king of Israel. He conquers Jerusalem, he moves in there, and finally completely conquers the Philistines, has them under his thumb. So there's no more threat to Israel from the Philistines. And what we see then in 2 Samuel 6, today's story, is the Ark of the Covenant being brought back to Jerusalem. Let me give you a little bit of history of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God's presence among the Israelites. It had been built back in Moses' time by the people of Israel, and it contained a bowl of manna, which represented God's provision for the people of Israel in the desert. It had the priest Aaron's budding rod, which symbolized that he was chosen as Aaron had been chosen as the priest, the high priest of Israel. So the Levites were the chosen caretakers of the temple and the priests of Israel, and also in there was the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets that had the Ten Commandments on them that Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai to have God write on the stone tablets. So those are the three things that were in the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark was placed in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. It was the holiest place in the tabernacle, was the Holy of Holies. The only person allowed in there was the high priest once a year, and it was where God's presence rested in the tabernacle. It was in the Holy of Holies. And this Ark had been taken by the Philistines because the Ark was also sent ahead of the Israelites in battle. It was sent before the Israelites' army in battle. And back 70 years before this, the Philistines had been attacking Israel, and they sent the Ark out in front of the armies of Israel, and Israel lost that battle, and they lost the Ark of the Covenant. So the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant back to their territory, and they stored it there in one of their cities, And what happened was that city where the Ark of the Covenant was resting was then under a curse. People got tumors on their bodies, and God was just, his hand of oppression was just on that city, and the Philistines finally just got sick of it. And they said, we can't handle this. We don't want the Ark of the Covenant in our territory anymore. So they put the Ark on a new cart with some oxen, and these oxen carried the cart back to Israelite territory. That's in 1 Samuel 5 and 6. And it ended up at the house of a man named Abinadab in Beth Shemesh. And it was there for 20 years. So when David came to power in Israel, one of the first things that he wanted to do was to restore God's rightful place as the center of focus for the nation. It was the first thing David wanted to do. That should be the first thing on our hearts too, right? God should be the center of the focus of our life. That's what God should be for us. Shouldn't be our family. Shouldn't be our spouse. Shouldn't be our job. Shouldn't be our money. Shouldn't be the things that we have, the nice house, the car, the whatever. Those shouldn't be the focus of our life. The center of focus for our life needs to be God. And if God is the center focus of your life, everything else has got to fall into place. Your marriage is going to be better if God is the focus of your wife rather than your spouse. Your job is going to be better if God is the center of your life rather than your career. Your life is going to be better if God is the focus of it. So important. God is the center of your life. And that's what David wanted. He wanted Israel. He wanted that symbolic presence of God that was the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted that back in Jerusalem where it belonged, in the tabernacle. So that was the first thing David wanted to do as king. And we see in 2 Samuel chapter 6, I want to go over a couple of excerpts from this chapter. And then I have a special guest who's going to talk to you today. 2 Samuel 6, 5, verse 5. Says, David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. So as Israel was picking up the Ark of the Covenant to bring it back into Jerusalem, they were celebrating. They were worshiping. They were worshiping God. In verses 14 through 16, it says, David, this is as they're bringing the ark into Jerusalem, David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. That's David's wife. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Then in verses 20 through 22, it says, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. He didn't care what other people thought. He didn't care what his wife thought. He didn't care what the people who were watching him thought. The people that he was ruling over. He didn't care. All he knew was he was worshiping God. That was his focus. That was his life. Was worshiping God. He didn't care what other people thought. That's what I want to get across to you this morning. Worship God. So many of us hold back during the worship times. We're afraid of what the person next to us is going to think if we get down on our knees, or if we go up to the cross, or if we raise our hands. God forbid we raise our hands. I'll tell you what. God knows your heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. God knows your heart. You and him, that's what it's all about. Don't worry about the people around you. We have a lot of great worshipers in this church, like I said. You know, we have Carl and Chris, who have the worship flags in the back of the sanctuary. We have Karen Alstrom, who has her tambourine back there banging it during the worship time. We have our worship team up here. That's their gift is worship. But as I was preparing a couple of months ago this sermon series, the man that came to my mind when I thought about unrestrained worship was Randy Hinton, our worship leader, our youth leader. He knows how to worship. So I want to bring him up right now. I asked him to share for 10 or 15 minutes just about what it means to have a lifestyle of worship. So share some of his experiences as a man of worship.
Oh, I know what you guys are thinking. 15 minutes, yeah, right. We've seen this guy worship. You know what? And that's the coolest part. It's like I get to be a part of this big family. And guys, you encourage me to worship. When I looked out there this morning and we started singing that first song, people are dancing and clapping. Guys, in our hearts, we're truly worshiping the King of Kings. And that's what it's truly about, an unrestrained worship. David understood that. And he made that choice to do that. And that's this morning. One of my points I want to make is that it is a choice that we make to have an unrestrained worship. Worship isn't something that I get to church and then all of a sudden I just feel. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, I feel like worshiping. It's not like that. It is something that on a daily basis, not just a Sunday morning, but on a daily basis, we get there in that place in our hearts and we just say, God, I surrender everything. And Lord, you lead my path. You direct. You give me words to speak. You show me where you're at work. I want to join you. You see, when we're witnessing to somebody, we're worshiping to God with our lives. We're laying it down before him and we're seeing the importance and the impact and the worth that God has. I've got sermon notes and so far I haven't followed them yet. So hang on. Doug's working with me on this. But you know, all I really want to do is I want to come up here and reinforce what Doug is saying here, what the Word of God is saying, and kind of personalize it with my life as a personal testimony. And I want to go over that again. Listen to that, 2 Samuel 6:5. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might. Think about this kind of unrestrained worship, man. What does it mean to have might? That means that we're using power and strength. We're using the utmost of our beings, everything that's inside of us. Not just a portion. This isn't mighty. Oh, mighty God, we love you. You know, and there's places sometimes where we're brought down and we're humbled and we're feeble and weak, but God is our strength. But guys, they did it with all their might. They were celebrating something. And Doug made a point earlier, and they were celebrating the Ark of the Covenant being back in its rightful place. That's what I want to emphasize, my first point. Guys, that Ark of that Covenant represented the presence of God. What today in our hearts, in our lives, and always has represented the presence of God that is still with us now? Anyone? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. And that's what is with us. And guys, to have that unrestrained worship, it's to surrender in such a way that says, Holy Spirit, you are the center of my life. Every word that I proclaim, everything that I say, every action, every deed that I do, wherever I'm at, God, be the center of my life. And you guys, we have something to celebrate about because by having the Holy Spirit lead us and direct us, guys, we can't go wrong. Amen? Second point now. Since I made up the other first one. But this is when I was reading through this last night, I was really, really praying about this, and it said, you know, one of my points was, what drives us to worship something or someone, but the recognition of how our lives are affected for the better by this something or someone? Isn't that true? There's a lot of religions out there that they bow down to things that, well, like this, and they worship it. What would drive a person to worship a piece of wood? But the solid belief that wood is affecting their life for the better. Pretty amazing, huh? But you see, in that same way, guys, though we cannot see the Holy Spirit, we can feel the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit's signs by looking out and around us. And guys, we begin to be driven to worship something when we make that the central focus of our lives. We have something to celebrate. As for me, I know in my heart, and this is where it gets personal, that when those mornings I wake up and the enemy comes in and floods in and starts attacking and I start going for it and I'm falling over and it's like World War whatever coming at me and I don't get in my word and I don't pray, I am weak. My celebrative spirit, my joy has been robbed, has been stolen, and that has happened so many times. Anybody else here a witness of that? You feel like in the mornings when you don't, and when you lose sight, you see how David was excited about the ark being back there in that place? In that same way, we need to be excited about the Spirit being the center of our lives. He is our strength. He is our joy. He is what helps us to move forward and doing the will of God. We have no greater joy than that is in Him, right? And that one day we're going to be home with Him and see Him face to face. Amen? That's the excitement and joy we have. Amen. And then it goes on to say this, my second point here. In 2 Samuel 6:14 through 16, it says, David's wearing a linen ephod. He danced before the Lord with all of his might. Once again, with all of his might. And while he and his entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, and I don't know what'd you call her, Michael? I was thinking like Mikhail or Michelle. We'll talk about that later. Anyways. Michael, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. And I stopped and thought, why did she despise him? She despised him because he had better dance moves? Because he was wearing that linen ephod and she wished he had one? No. And as I went on further on in the scriptures and you're reading about it, what did she complain about? Can we bring that scripture back up again, the 20 through 22? And it says, she says, how you distinguish yourself today by disrobing in the sight of slave girls. He says, you disrobed in the sight of slave girls. Check this out. This is pretty common. It's called jealousy. She's like looking at him going, oh my, what is he doing? Oh, yeah, he's just showing himself off. No, that's crazy, right? But I'm going to really personalize this for us to hear today. You see, the enemy is divisive. He's sneaky. He's tricky. And he'll use all of those things, those emotions that, again, that we talked about a couple weeks ago about emotions being a powerful thing. He'll use them to sneak inside, to trick you, and to get your focus off of what's most important, and that is God being the center of our lives. If he can do that and he can put the blinders on, we are no longer celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer being able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and worship him with all of our hearts. You see what happened there? There's the trip. And we have to be aware of that, church, today. We have to be aware of that. What is it that's tripping me up? Pray and ask the Lord, and he'll show you. That's my challenge for you this morning. Pray and ask him. For Mikhail or Michael, she was jealous. But you know what David did? Mm-mm. He's not going for that. Because he understood the importance, the worth, the impact that God had upon his life. He was not going to be discouraged. Now, on another personal note, I'm going to talk about my dad a little bit. He's not here, but he'll forgive me. No, actually, my father's doing really awesome right now. I want you guys to know, for a long period of time, my dad kind of fell away. And you know what? He's going back. He's going strong. And he's living for Jesus. And amen, I do. That's a personal testimony. I just heard from him the other day on the phone, and it was so different to talk to my dad, knowing that, man, he's back on track. He's letting God have his life again. But there was a period of time, years, I watched my dad slip away. And I'll tell you why. As I observed as a kid growing up, my dad had a heart of worship. No doubt. I got that from my daddy. Okay? But my dad was not ashamed to shout. He was not ashamed to become undignified and have unrestrained worship. But unfortunately, in some of the churches we went into, there was a Mikhail. And I don't mean that to judge. I mean that so that we can see that clear picture. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can be that Mikhail. Right? And for my dad, that Mikhail was another lady in the church who came up to him and said, you're too loud. Too loud. Okay? And my dad, little by little, and that wasn't the first time. When we went to other churches, I remember moving. We moved a lot. And I remember going to other places and the same thing. And the next thing you know, I started noticing my dad just kind of drifting away. And, you know, every once in a while we'd make a Sunday. And then, we're busy. I got to work. Guys, do you see the impact that that could have? The importance it is to keep God at the center and not to be deceived by the enemy. That is my challenge for you this morning. To have unrestrained worship, body, we have to look aside what the enemy is trying to do, and we need to keep God at the center. We need to be like David in that sense and say, no, I am not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be dissuaded. I will not be discouraged. I'm going to live for the King of Kings. No matter what anyone says, I will be even more undignified than this. Amen? And he got pretty undignified, didn't he? Linen ephods? Okay, some of us can imagine. Like, this dude's dancing in his underpants. Whoa. Do you know what, though? I'm so happy. That's, you know, that is my heart. Man, we you know what, and I find it funny because, you know, when you look out there in the world today and you look at us, we will get crazy about some pretty silly things, won't we? Amen. I've seen guys, I mean, at the football games, shirts off, painted, you know what I'm saying? Woo! You know, and then they come by a church and they'll see somebody worshiping and going, what a bunch of weirdos. I'm going, really? The point is, guys, is that we can't be ashamed. People get excited about a lot of things. People will worship a piece of wood. But you know what? We have a living God. A living God that has given us life and eternity. And I think that's the one thing. If we think about God being the center of our life, we have to think about the impact, the recognizing of the impact and the importance of that. And that is that he has given you life. You wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have a breath to breathe. We wouldn't have the loving feeling of emotions to have a family, kids, to have loved ones, and guys, just to enjoy what he's given us. We lose sight of that so many times. The enemy is at work. It is true, but God is bigger. Amen? And to have that unrestrained worship, despite all hindrance and discouragement, guys, we have to surrender an unrestrained worship. We have to understand the worth, the importance, and the impact God has made upon our lives. And that is truly in my life. That's my testimony right there, is understanding it. And when I forget it and I let go of it, I'll admit, I am weak, I am feeble, I fall away. Anybody with me on that? And glory to God, he is my strength. And every morning that we wake up and we have breath, let us be reminded, church, that every moment we breathe, he has never left us. If you ever have question or doubt in your mind, if God is with you and he is worth all of your worship, breathe. Amen. And Doug, that's all I have this morning. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Woo. Tell you what. We're now going to give you an opportunity to practice what we've been preaching. We're going to have the worship team up here. And we're going to sing one more song this morning. Notice we kind of shortened the ministry of prayer time this morning because I knew that at the end of today's service, I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to practice unrestrained worship. And as we sing this song together, let's just don't worry about the people around you. Don't worry about the people next to you, in front of, behind you, what they're thinking. It's you and God, right? Let's just worship God with all our might, just like King David did. And, you know, feel free to kneel, raise your hands, go before the cross. Go whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, man, go with it. All right? Let's worship the Lord together.
Dead will raise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free. Yeah.
we worship, the Spirit of God is unleashed on this place. Can you feel it?
Oh,
yes. Amen. Woo.
Hallelujah.
Ah, all right.
Hallelujah. Should we continue?
Yeah, let's keep it going. Let's all bow our heads together for one moment, if you would. If there is anyone here today who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, if you just look up at me right now, make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you today as we talk about worshiping God. You may not even know God. Give me an opportunity today to introduce you to Him. Is there anybody here today? All right. All saved this morning. We're going to continue to worship. I just want to dismiss you with a... Number 6, I'm going to dismiss you with a blessing, and we're going to continue to worship after I dismiss. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Continue this lifestyle of worship throughout your week. Keep God as the center focus of your life. That's the key. Amen. Right. Don't forget to sign the charter as well on your way out the door. If you want to be a member of Pathway of Hope, you are dismissed. Let's keep worshiping.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together.
To see my sin. Savior, I come. I quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here.